In today's gospel, Christ promises redemption at his second coming for those who are faithful. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Most of you here this morning know that the ancient Romans had many different gods and goddesses. The god of new beginnings was called Janus, J-A-N-U-S. We have that name is the foundation of our name for the month January, right? J-A-N-U-S. Janus in art was depicted with two faces, one face looking to the past, another face looking to the future. The god of new beginnings, leaving the past behind, looking to the future. I think that artistic image might help us a bit to understand what the season of Advent should mean for us. Because Advent is a time when the church asks us to look back to the past, to the first coming of Christ, to look ahead to the future, to the final coming of Christ. We look back, as the first reading reminds us today, to the time that God kept his promise. He would send a Savior. We look back 2,000 years ago to commemorate how God fulfilled that promise. Now, Christmas time is not for us a time to make believe that Christ is being reborn. No. Christ was born 2,000 years ago. Christmas is a time to celebrate his birth. We look back to that moment. But then, as the gospel today asks us to do, Advent urges us to look ahead to that time when Christ will return once more to bring it all to completion, finish his work, burn up the old world, to establish a new world, a new creation, his kingdom. So we look to the coming of Christ in history. We look to the coming of Christ in mystery. You know, there's always been speculation. When will that be? When will his coming be? Jesus tells us, no one knows that except the Father. But did you ever stop to think, could be tomorrow? Remember, Jesus says in the scripture, when the day comes, it'll catch people by surprise. People will be out in the field working, doing their normal everyday work, and all of a sudden, it'll be here. Now, if I was a betting person, I'd probably say it's not going to be tomorrow. But I couldn't be sure of that. When that day comes, people will be sitting in a church just like this, thinking it's not coming for a long time. And it'll be here. Who knows when? But here's the point. We look back to the coming of Christ in history. We look ahead to his coming in mystery. What about today? What are we supposed to be doing today? You know, St. Paul in the second lesson today says we are to be built up in Christ's love. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. As we await that coming in mystery, we're being built up in Christ's love. You know, what's the last thing that Jesus says to us before he ascends into heaven? He says, "Behold, I will be with you all days until the end of the world." So, Christ is with us always. He comes every day into our world, into our lives. He wants to use you and me to prepare that kingdom, prepare for that final coming whenever it is. So, he did come in history. He's going to come in mystery, but he comes every day too. And we're supposed to be part of that everyday coming of the Lord, responsible for his kingdom today. That's what we do as we wait. Let me give you a thought about this, drawn from one of the great figures of literature. I'm going to ask you all a question this morning. I assume you all know the answer. You'll all be able to put your hands up, especially you college students that are here. You know, I'm looking for the answer. You put your hands up if you know this. If you don't, I'll be very disappointed. So who of you, all of you who know who Sir James Barrie was, put up your hands. Sir James Barrie. 1, 2, 3. No college students putting up their hands. No. Yeah, but you don't count. You know why? You know why he doesn't count? You know why he doesn't count? Because last night he didn't put his hand up. Yeah, he knows it at the 10 o'clock Mass because he was here last night. And at the 8 o'clock Mass, his wife put her hand up because he told her. Yeah. But anyway, if I were to ask you who Peter Pan is, everybody would put their hand up, right? James Barrie is the author of Peter Pan. Okay? Wrote Peter Pan. British author, wrote Peter Pan. What I didn't know until I read this little article a few weeks ago was that when James Barrie wrote Peter Pan, he wrote into that character a little bit of a dark side. There's a little bit of a downside to Peter Pan. We all know what it is. Remember in the musical version, which is taken right from the book, when Peter Pan is singing to Wendy and the other children, trying to convince them to go to Neverland, what is it he sings to them? "I won't grow up. I don't want to grow up. I want to stay a kid. I want to be a kid." See, Peter Pan does, being in Neverland is a big adventure. Romance, excitement. He knows Dr. Hook, the pirate is never going to get him. He knows that. Captain Hook's never going to get him. The crocodile's never going to get him. It's all fun and games. What Peter Pan doesn't want to do is grow up to face adult responsibility. He doesn't want to grow up to face adult accountability. That's the dark side to Peter Pan. James Barrie wrote in one of his other works, "The most dangerous day in any person's life is the day when that person discovers the meaning of the word tomorrow." James Barrie would say that the most dangerous day in your life was when you began to understand what tomorrow meant. Why? Because then the danger is always there and the temptation to put off until tomorrow the things you should be doing today, to put off until another time the accountabilities and responsibilities of today. Peter Pan syndrome, that's what that's called. Not growing up, not taking responsibility, not taking accountability. But see, that's what you and I are supposed to be as Advent people. People waiting for the Lord's second coming, looking back to his first coming. We're supposed to be people who let him come into the world as he wants through us every day. It's not somebody else's responsibility. The kingdom is not somebody else's responsibility. It's yours and mine. Not somebody else's accountability. It's yours and mine. If we see anything contrary to the kingdom, racism, sexism, intolerance, selfishness, lying, dishonesty, if we run into those things, we are supposed to be the ones who try to change that in the name of Christ, where we are. It's not someone else's responsibility to do that. It's ours, because we're supposed to be preparing the way for the kingdom. That's what we're doing. Christ wants to come into the world every day to change those things in preparation for that final coming. Let me give you a couple of examples of what that might look like or not look like, as the case may be. 2 years ago on Black Friday at the mall down here, Pheasant Lane, this man came out of the mall. Of course, the parking lot's crowded. It's, you know, everybody's running around. Everybody's on edge. He came out of the mall, got into his car. Because he was so enervated, he backed up and backed right into the car across the way from him. Broke the headlight of that car. So there's a lot of people milling around, you know, they see this happening, and he gets out of his car, he looks, he sees the broken headlight, goes back into his car, takes a piece of paper and pencil, writes on it, puts that in the windshield of the car he bumped into. When the person whose car that was came out, they saw the damage, they saw the sheet, they took the sheet off. This is what it read. I backed into your car, I broke your headlight, sorry. People think I'm leaving you my address and phone number. I'm not. Now see, that was a time when the kingdom did not come into the world. Let's assume that man who backed into the other one was Christian. I don't know if he was or not. That was a time when he could stand and bring honesty and truth into the world. He didn't. The kingdom is stymied. Christ could not come into the world because of what he did. Another example. There was a woman from a parish who was a hospital visitor. She'd go to visit the hospital a couple times a week and bring communion to the sick, visit with them, pray with them. So one day she went into one little room and there was a young woman there, 25 years old, who had terminal cancer. So she brought communion to her, and they talked and prayed. And this young woman was very, very concerned about her husband and her little 5-year-old son. What was going to happen to them when she died? Things weren't going so well economically, and she was just so worried about them. So when the hospital visitor went home, she told her husband about this, and then she began praying for this woman and also for the family. A couple of months later, her car goes on the fritz. She needs to get it repaired. So she asks around, and she's told about this mechanic who has a little garage on the edge of town who's very good. So she goes out there. The man's there, and he gets her car repaired, and she stays while the car's being repaired and talks with him and finds out that his wife just died. He's got a little 5-year-old son. So she goes home, and she's thinking about all this, and it's almost Christmas time. So she says to her husband, you know, I feel bad for that man and his little boy. They're not going to have much of a Christmas. I wonder if he'd let me take the little boy out Christmas shopping. So it's all arranged. She takes the little boy out Christmas shopping, helps him buy presents for Daddy. Meanwhile, she's buying presents for him, you know, privately and so forth. You know what this is all about, don't you? That man and his little boy were the husband and son of the woman in the hospital who died. And the hospital visitor said to others later, I was praying that God would send somebody to help those people, help the husband and little boy of the woman who was dying. I prayed that somebody would go to help them, that God would send somebody. He did. He sent me. He sent me. The kingdom comes in the world there, you see. The kingdom, Christ comes into the world in that situation. She let Christ be born into the world in that situation. So for you and me, where does Christ want to be born and come into the world through you? Right now. How many people are there out there who are looking for Christ in you? Question is, will they find him? Looking for Christ in me? Question is, will they find him? Because we are Advent people looking for the coming of the Lord today, and we'll let him build up his kingdom through us. May God bless you.